And good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, guys, to this Thursday session of the Brand Conversation. I'm just struggling a little bit here with the headphones, but nonetheless, yes, in terms of the slight disruption in terms of yesterday's discussion, as opposed to linking in with Tuesday's one, well, we are still continuing on where we left off on Tuesday. Now, on Tuesday, guys, and I have to indicate this, remember, in your entire approach as a company or even as a business, even as an individual, a freelancer, a consultant, you name it, even as a knowledge-based worker yourself, which usually links into the freelancer and consultant their categories, branding plays a role. Branding can be, it can be anything, but if you have a product that you are dealing with, now in last week we looked at branding and innovation. So branding and innovation was, you know, the over-encompassing, the overarching concept that we broke down, that we digested a little bit, and then we started looking at the little discussion points that centered from there. In this week, we expanded into product and branding. I'm not saying product branding together, because the product itself is a concept on its own. Branding itself is another concept on its own. These two concepts form one. Product branding. Product branding relates only and specifically to strengthening the identity, the image, the reputation of a product. Now, taking into consideration where we left off on Tuesday with our discussion, was in terms of the connection that has to be generated with connecting innovation to a business success. There were four subcategories that we looked at within that connecting or in that bridging exercise that has to take place. And this included expansion, competition, customer retention, and talent acquisition. Now, this is another holistic approach that you also have to consider, because first and foremost, expansion links into how quickly and how strongly your business or, you know, your business model or your business or your organization, or, you know, it can be anything. Remember, a company can be anything that can offer you a service or a product. And it's about how quickly successful innovation, you know, allows the organization also to expand and also to grow and also to mature. From that type of approach, from that specific approach with regards to expansion, you then have to look at, you know, the next element, which is then the competition. The competition that not just you as the company will have to look at, but also the competition in terms of the product's competition. Because product competition can come from internally as well as also externally. Internally, if you've got a very broad and very deep product range, product range speaks to product depth, product width, and product depth. You might be busy conducting internal competition between the products itself. That does happen. And remember, I also factored in the Boston Consulting Group's matrix, which highlights the most important thing in terms of how, if you're a company that has multiple products, how you weigh or measure those products against each other. Those products have to then link into any SWOT or TOES analysis that you have to also imply. Guys, you don't know how important these two exercises are, and they can help you as the small entrepreneur. They can help you as the office manager wherever you find yourself. They can help you perhaps even as a bricklayer. You know, anyway, these two elements can help anyone, everywhere. It is adjustable. It is applicable in almost every setting. I myself didn't believe it, but, you know, as you grow older and you start seeing, but, you know, you can actually apply the Boston Consulting Group's matrix. I just, you know, forgot the name, the full name, but it starts with Boston Consulting. And you can apply that matrix in every setting here in Namibia. The same also with every SWOT, with the SWOT and the TOES analysis. But here's the thing. Speaking to executives here in Namibia, they will only link in everything to the SWOT and the TOES analysis. The SWOT and the TOES analysis does not actually give you a detailed aspect in terms of what you can do from the Boston Consulting Group's matrix. Now, guys, I'm not speaking French. I'm not speaking French, but we're getting technical. Because as an entrepreneur, as a business person, as a creative, as a freelancer or a consultant, or as a one-man, one-woman show element, or even if you're selling, you know, even if you like what we used to call in Afrikaans, a smos, even if you are smosing from home, meaning you've got a little, you know, tuck shop running from home, which is a smos, even if you're doing a smos, you've got to apply the Boston Consulting Group matrix before you start looking at the TOES and the SWOT analysis. Why? Because with the Boston Consulting Group matrix, you are looking at your products. With the TOES and the SWOT analysis, you are just looking at various variables. Variables that you can try and work on. The ones that actually bring you in money has to do is being judged or is being evaluated within the Boston Consulting Group's matrix. That's the dog, the star child, the cash cow, and the problem child, where you've got a product. That can also be, you know, applied towards big corporations that have various business units even. A business unit, guys, it can either be a product or it can be a business under a business as part of a holding company or something in that same element. So even in that same sense, you can apply that Boston Consulting Group matrix to those various settings. Now, when I explain that with regards to the competition, so you've got the expansion, you've got the competition element that we're looking at in terms of the bridging between your innovation to business success element. Remember, guys, this does also take a lot of trial and error, testing the waters approaches, as well as also gathering a lot of data and information. Now, here in Namibia, I've actually seen gathering data is not one of the strongest suits that I've seen. You've got wonderful, wonderful graduates, wonderful students and people, or let me say academics and students and graduates here on NUST, UNAM, and IUM. Even the guys coming from overseas, doesn't matter where they went, they have been exposed to an element known as market research, gathering data, and then evaluating it. In almost all cases, guys, the only people that you might find that regularly have to do with data is either you're working in an IT department, either you're an economist at one of the major financial institutions in the country. That can be either government or private or state-owned, which is also government. So that's one element as well. Secondly, if you're in any of the medical or veterinary fields, that's third. And then lastly, if you're in the engineering field of this country. Anywhere else where it is to do with business and the business environment in terms of marketing research, even brand awareness, even those kinds of, you know, qualitative research functions is not being exercised often enough. Not often enough, guys. Even by media corporations themselves. Because if you have to go to places like even in South Africa and even, for example, in the US, where a newspaper or even a radio station or even a TV station will run a snap poll. A snap poll is an opinion poll. It helps them generate their own data. That said, data is, although it is opinion poll based, it does allow them to work with it. Because in the media, the biggest product that you have is the medium that you operate within. So this can be either print, this can either be digital print, or this can either be radio, digital broadcasting, or TV broadcasting for that matter. So it depends on which function that you try to look at. But anything else that has to look at a product, not much marketing research exists. Even on top of that, not much research with regards to consumer trends, consumer behavior, consumer protections, all that. You don't find it easily. It's not being advertised or promoted as easily. So in terms of understanding that, that's one portion here in the Namibian market segment, here in the Namibian market entirely, that just looks like a vacuum. I say looks like a vacuum because essentially there is one or two companies, I think it's just one that I know of, that actually they actually do research based on the communication mediums, meaning the media that exists in the country. But that is based upon you having to pay them. Now, with customer retention, which is one of the other bridging aspects, customer retention is always where you as the company, you as the business person, you're not going to stay in business if you're just going to aim for one-off sales. No one works like that. No one functions like that. The aim of the game is survival. Second on to survival is that you develop a loyal customer base. A loyal customer base gives you repeat business. Repeat business generates into constant cash flow. You don't want money at the end of the month. You want constant cash flow. Constant cash flow will and essentially leads to you being able to do various projects as well in terms of as a business, a consultant, an SME, you name it. Talent acquisition is then the last element that you have to add in. Talent acquisition has to do with the people associated to taking the next steps in this product innovation phase. Now, talent acquisition has to do with top-tier employees or top-tier executives, top-tier staff that want to work for the business and that are at the innovative forefront in their industries. This means potentially targeting some of the best executives that you can find in the industry. Now, that's also where the action, the learning, and the opportunities exist. Now, no company, just to make it clear, guys, no company has ever said that it didn't want to succeed. There's no such company. Well, unless you've read the book that I've read in terms of Freakonomics. Is it Freakonomics? No. But it's the same two guys that wrote the book Freakonomics. They wrote a second book, and I bought the second book, where they actually visited a company. These two writers are economists. Just to explain this to you, they are economists in the US, and these two gentlemen make it their business to understand the innovative or the innovation that is being applied. Why do I say this? First and foremost, because these two gentlemen, they want to understand how things progress. How does a company bridge into the next into the next phase? How does a company expand? They try to understand these things. Oh yes, the book that I bought actually came out in 2014. It's known as Think Like a Freak. It's got no sexual connotations nor denotations associated to it. What they mean in the sense of in terms of think like a freak is using some of the very, widely accessible human concepts that we all know and all aspire to exercise every day, meaning freedom of choice, freedom of thought, you know, all those kinds of things. So they are looking at the reasons why, if you enter into a business, why should you never have the ability or the option of stepping out of it? Now, I'm not saying that the statement in terms of that no business enters into the aspect of saying that it doesn't want to succeed. All businesses start with the aim of actually saying, we want to be successful. But with these two gentlemen, the concept that they also introduced in this, and I'm not here to confuse you guys, I'm sorry for that, but I'm not here to confuse you on this, but this is also just to add in an alternative thought process that already exists. These two writers, known as Stephen Levitt, and his associate is also Stephen, let me just get the other guy's name. Stephen J. Dubner. Stephen J. Dubner and Stephen Levitt. Now, these two Stevens found out that there's a company that exists in the US where this company's main aim is to test whether something is successful. This can either be a business idea, a product idea, a concept, you name it. This company just tests the plausibility, the financial viability, the marketability, the commercial viability of anything that is laid in front of them. And then they will tell the company or the business person who is looking to do something like this that, well, your idea will not work under the current conditions, or yes, your idea can work with X and Y variables added into it, or if you take out certain aspects regarding the product, the service, or the idea itself. A company like that exists. It exists. Now, that provides you with two bonus features. First off, although you're paying another company millions of dollars in terms of trying to test a product idea, you'll also know whether this idea will be commercially viable beforehand, meaning they research it. So the only cost you're technically paying out is hiring them to do a job for you. Now, I know that is wishful thinking in the context of Namibia, but to test your product idea is not an avenue that means that you should not exercise it yourself. What I aim to add in with that explanation is that think about your idea and work out scenarios. Even if you have the product already, even if you know you have the product, because in Namibia, and this is just my layman's observation, a lot of people are entering into existing market frames or markets that are already occupied by other big fish. What do I mean? Guys that want to sell you tires, but there's already, you know, pretty big names in tire sales in the country. Guys that want to enter into, selling fresh produce to as broad a Namibian public as possible, but you already have big names in that same segment. Guys that want to transport fresh produce and other kinds of products around the country, but you already have other transport big names in that segment. Guys that are trying to, you know, sell one or other types of clothing element or start a garment selling retail store, selling shoes that they import from somewhere. But there's already big names doing the same thing. So the question that you've got to ask there is not about me or you developing a niche product. No. You first have to see if there is a demand for a niche product. Then you've got to secondly look at how does that product, will you be able to get to, you know, will the market be able to carry the capacity or the functions, or will the market be able to make use of this product to its fullest use? And it's the truth, guys. It's the truth. Why do I say this? Well, as much as we've got millionaires in this country and big name business people in this country, those business people themselves will not easily buy a product that cannot be serviced or even be maintained in Namibia. Doesn't matter where they go for holiday or to go stay or buy a house. Doesn't matter. In terms of looking at the product itself, you can own the product. It's your personal money and stuff. But when they look at the product and try to bring it to Namibia, will it fit in with the profile of Namibia? What I mean there is, guys, having a look at the customer profile, that if you're a business person and you want to bring in something novel into Namibia, will your customers be able to maintain the product? even if you develop the product, even in like the wonderful idea I gave last week, and I still call it a wonderful idea because it's pretty confusing how we have, how we, you know, graduate mechanics and fitter and turners and diesel for mechanics, but we can't build a car. Even if you've got someone in Namibia that can build you a car that has an all-purpose function to it, it's not a car that's strictly a off-roader or strictly a 4x4 or strictly a sedan. It's a car that has an all-round feature to it. Almost something similar to what the Russian Lada brand has. Is it Lada? Yeah, it's Lada. The Russian Lada brand. Because you've got to ask the question in terms of, am I trying to sell to the EU market or am I trying to sell to the Namibian market? Am I trying to manufacture for the EU market or am I trying to manufacture for the Namibian market? Because your car does not actually need airbags. It doesn't, guys. You just need a person who knows how to drive, who doesn't drink at night and, you know, exercises drunken driving. And you need someone who just knows how to drive, you know, how to properly adhere to the road, to the rules of the road. That's all. The police will not jump on your head. Nothing of that sort will happen. What then happens is that you'll be able to determine the pricing strategy in Namibia. I'm giving this wonderful idea because that idea will push down any price of any new car that is imported from South Africa. And all those cars are imported from South Africa. All those cars are imported from South Africa. Meaning the factories sit in South Africa, they're built there, they're assembled there. Then they just come over to Namibia through trucks. I've spoken to so many guys that are the sales managers at some of these, retail outlets, these dealerships. Is it a 10%? Yeah, you as a Namibian, we as Namibians, we get charged a 10% environmental tax that is imposed on the South Africans, but the South Africans charge it on us because we import the cars. So they're making an extra 10% that is not applicable to us because our carbon footprint is too small. That once again speaks to a different kind of pricing strategy, meaning in essence, it is an unethical practice because you cannot charge someone or a client a aspect of a price that they cannot claim back or they do not enjoy in their territory or in the market that they live in. You cannot. I'll call it unethical because for the first part, if you are importing something, how can you be targeted for a tax that you are not applicable to? Now, that is a different economic discussion nonetheless. But if you had to develop and build your own car, you'd be looking at these various branding elements. And once again, the product itself is a brand on itself, by itself. The company itself is a brand by itself. So you've got to link a strong, innovative brand image for the car. And you've got to link in a strong, innovative brand image for the company. Now, I mentioned, I've already gone over this, but I'm just going to highlight this one discussion point before we reach the ad break. Actually, we'll be reaching the ad break pretty shortly, but I'll just mention these two theorists. They're known as Thomas Ripsum and Louis Bouquet, who in their 10 principles of customer strategy noted that because technological breakthroughs are now so common in nearly every industry, customers expect big changes to be regular occurrences. And this links in with you having to stay ahead of customer demands, customer trends, and customer expectations in the same vein. Now, we're quickly stepping to the short ad break. From that break, we'll be coming right back, heading in to the last segment of today's program here on The Brand Conversation.
Ushua kokusha oshikwiri rimba oshina hetero momunyo vyetu peva peyuva. Monao, po Global Parts, tunova ungure ova buike, odo nongo, nova harupu okuku vatera. Tunovitenda peke peke vyo vikwiririmba okudhako Volkswagen, Mercedes-Benz, Audi, BMW, nui natuwa weather ovitenda vyo Toyota. Wedhako o manao manene shimu na o maile no top run. Tuvadha po mura rimbui o Naismith mo Southern Industrial Area. Po Global Parts tukupa onji viro o themba o hunga no vitenda vyo vitore. Global Parts, global reach for best local advice and prices.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Now we come back, guys, from that slightly extended break and getting into sort of like the last aspect of our discussion for today. Now, both Louis Bouquet and Thomas Ribson, in the 10 Principles of Customer Strategy, noted that the most successful companies continually experiment with innovations that make life better for customers. This links me back into the book that I read, where they say, Think Like a Freak, where failure is also a sort of like a type of a result that you can make use of, that you can study and reevaluate. This means either it's a failure in a product strategy, in a pricing strategy, in a product design, in a idea design or an idea execution or implementation, you can still learn something from it. You can still learn something from it. It's just that usually has to take place at the beginning of everything before your innovation with regards to the product actually takes place. So you would have had at least like two levels of innovation, meaning just how it interacts with the natural environment, and secondly, how it is received, you know, the reception element from the general public or the market. Now, putting it into context, incorporating a product innovation into your overall business plan helps ensure that you won't fall too far behind the competition. Remember, you are competing externally. You'll also be competing internally, meaning you will have set deadlines, set targets, set types of approaches to product design. For example, there's the very famous example from Elon Musk, as erratic as he is, because he's pretty erratic. Elon Musk strives to be at the forefront of innovation. Everywhere else, this electronic car concept, he's not the first electronic vehicle or electronic car, mind you, he's not the first. The smart division that is part of the Mercedes-Benz organization has always been there. It's just that they make a car that's just too small. It's a car that's just too small. Their car also has better fuel management. They've got a battery there that can last you at least a week. You can drive all up and down Windhoek with that smart. But as I mentioned, it's a slightly smaller car compared to a Tesla model. And there is no Tesla as small as the smallest smart car. Now, even there, with Musk and his electronic vehicles, or with, as some of the people would have called, with his rolling microwaves, because it's totally electronic, there's no engine, there's no combustion engine. In that same vein, Musk faces competition internally between his various Tesla models, because the most often bought one is the sports car variant. It's a two-door variant. And then secondly, it has become also the Bucky version that he brought out last year or the year before, the Tesla pickup. But the Tesla pickup, if you now have to compare it to any other electronic vehicle variant, is probably the ugliest thing in the world. And it is ugly. So even there, he's got a niche market to support because it's a Bucky. But if everyone else sees what the Rivian has brought out, what Hummer from General Motors has brought out, what Ford is bringing out, what Mercedes is bringing out, what VW is bringing out, what all the other luxury brands are bringing out, and you still have, and I still have left out the Japanese and Chinese, even the Swedes through Volvo, you will start asking questions in terms of why would you buy a Tesla? Now, heading into how to get new product innovation right. So I gave you the balance, you know, the bridging balance. This is now the balance in terms of how to get it right. You can have all the recipe, you can have all the ingredients to a recipe, guys. But if you throw the ingredients in at the wrong time, you would get a totally different product. But if you know when to implement and introduce each ingredient, like if you know how to bake a cake, if you know how to do a fridge tart like I do, I know it out of my head by now. I also know how to bake a, what's the thing's name? A macaroni and cheese, a bowl of macaroni and cheese. It does not mean this is, you know, I'm not bragging about any of my skills. But if you know how to work with a recipe, then you know how to work with your ingredients. And it's the same approach that you apply towards innovation and a product. Innovation and your company. Innovation and everything else. Now, how to get a new product innovation right? This is one of the essential parts that we're going to list. Firstly, whether you're with a small to medium business or a large established company, whether your industry is tech, consumer packaged goods, food and beverage, or any other retail vertical, there are two fundamental mindsets that you've got to adopt when you set out to innovate. The first is an entrepreneurial, fail fast mentality. Meaning, if you initiate the thing and the thing looks like it's gonna fail, make it fail quickly. The second one is maintaining a customer-centric approach at all times. Never forget about the most important stakeholder in your entire organization's approach. Ever. Even if you're a consultant, even if you're a one-man, one-woman show in terms of your business enterprise, never, ever, 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 never, ever ignore your customers' concerns. Never. Never. There's actually a hidden doctrine within customer service or even within business where people used to say or use the very famous Hollywood expression of the customer is king. It's not the customer technically that's king. It's the customer's money that's king. The moment that customer puts down money for something that you are selling them, you owe that customer something. It can either be that you have to execute based on conditions, meaning it can be a conditional transaction, or it can be a full, you know, a pretty straightforward transaction in terms of goods for sale for money received, or it can even be an exchange that takes place. The moment a customer agrees to the terms and conditions that you as a business person had generated, you as a business person, you have a bigger obligation to execute than the customer. The customer just has to honor their agreement, which they're part of the bargain, which is just either a payment, or they also have a conditional act to enforce, or they need to ensure that they bring whatever they have to bring for exchange. If they don't do that, you don't execute your part. But the moment they've brought their part, you are obligated. You are obligated, and it's even like a hidden law. It's a hidden law And there are so many horror stories I've heard here in Namibia, guys, of people who just either treat customers as they want, do not take customer concerns seriously. They talk to the customer as if the customer is a family member of theirs. Doesn't matter if the customer is a family member of yours. It still is a customer. The moment that customer paid, you have a different role to play. You have a different function to execute. Now, these mindsets integrate with and complement each other at all times. Guys, at all times. The fail fast theory, meaning the entrepreneurial fail fast. And secondly, the customer-centric approach. Now, both are served by a market research, or by the current or the contemporary market research methodologies that exist, which is big data analysis and tools and technologies such as AI and machine learning. One of your easiest tools and research AI, I'll put it in inverted, you know, in brackets or in inverted commas or in quotation marks, is your Excel spreadsheet. You guys don't know how valuable an Excel spreadsheet is. You can throw any question into Google. That's your AI. And that Google can help you with an Excel spreadsheet. Google can give you the various things to think of for your business, for your Excel spreadsheet. Guys, big data or data sits everywhere. It sits everywhere. Product innovation can only come from the decisions you make from your Excel spreadsheet. Your inferences that you generate, that you see, that you read, can come from your Excel spreadsheet. Work with your Excel spreadsheet. It's your biggest tool. It's the most, well, Excel is probably, this has to be the second human right that after Google, the Google search has been generated by a technology company. Work with an Excel spreadsheet, guys. An Excel spreadsheet can help you with budgeting. It can help you with statistical analysis. It can help you with tabling your budgets further on. I'm not talking about in government terms. I'm talking about as you as an entrepreneur. It can help you with keeping ahead of your various tax commitments, which feeds into your budget commitments, which features into your other approaches that you can use, guys. Just the basic function of an Excel spreadsheet. That is your tool. You don't need to pay other monies. You just need a spreadsheet function, a spreadsheet processor. Then you need a word processor. There, you're done as an SME. You are done, guys. You are done. All this fancy talk of investing in a computer that can process the power ability like the Central Bank of Namibia, you don't need that. You just partner up the right tools with the right approach, the right mindset, then you've got the right sort of like internal structures at hand. Once that is done, you can continue with making business. Because if people want information from you, you will know where to access it because you've done it yourself. You've done it yourself. You have done it yourself. Now, all this have the same goal. All these things that I mentioned. Research methodologies, big data analysis, tools and technologies such as AI and machine learning, all this comes together into one main goal: to help you form the most complete and detailed picture of your target audience and determine the product concepts and to have the most potential or to generate the most, the most prospective, the most favorable picture, the most favorable scenario for most potential for profitability. Now, in that same vein, guys, we're quickly stepping into another short break. And from that break, we'll head into the last segment where the lines will be open.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Now, coming in from that short break, guys, the lines are now open for the last 15 minutes. I'll ask you to please condense your contribution here on air. In terms of, you don't have the studio line, it's 083-288-401. Now, ending off our discussion in this last segment before any callers come through, you've got something known as the entrepreneurial mentality. Now, the entrepreneurial mentality, guys, is not for everyone. It's not everyone can be an entrepreneur. We can have a inkling. We can have a characteristic. We can have a attitude towards generating money. But it's all about whether you can continuously do that function or play that function. Now, entrepreneurs understand that a product innovation is a continual process of incremental testing and refinement to figure out what works and what does not, what is necessary and which is not. And also that failure along the way actually leads to more knowledge creation, breakthroughs, and further growth. So if you see a product fails, guys, it is not the end of the road unless you actually bet everything that you have on it, which is the incorrect, you know, approach to take. But it allows you actually to see various responses, and also perhaps to see that there is something new that you did not observe in the first hand. Now, I mentioned, guys, it is important to test your business model theories or business models before you actually roll out in full force. Now, that being said, you also would like to remove much of the risk and uncertainty around new ideas by arriving at the most viable product concept faster or getting on the right track earlier. So you have internal competition with yourself, your teammates as well, if you're within that product innovation department, in whichever company or organization you find yourself in, because you guys have this, you are working on a deadline. If there are business people in this world or in this country that think you just open up the shop and you let the shop run itself, that does not work ever. Ever. It doesn't work. It doesn't. It does not. It does not work that way. It doesn't. It doesn't. Or you open up the business, you make business, big business, for one instance only, and you call yourself a business person after that, but you're not actually being sustainable after that. Still also, that's not a good thing to do, because the idea is that you need to continuously innovate, provide, and so on. Let me give you an example. For example, let's say I go and open up a security company. So I'm going to start small. I'm going to have one, let's say one contract perhaps. And my size of my team, that's now the security guards that I will, you know, who will be affecting the exercise of being a security organization or representing the organization, will be, let's say, 10. So it will start off with basics. The basics will mean what you'll have to look at. I would have then have gone to the market and done observations in terms of seeing what the other competition are doing. What do they have? Well, I would notice that some companies don't give their people any types of protective gear, no matter where they find themselves. Second on to that is also you try to look at security guard happiness. You guys forget that these are also people. They've got psychological needs as well. Happiness elements. So what does a happiness element include? Training. Involvement, getting them in on the buying, having them buy into the same idea in terms of where they're actually doing the job, but where they know that they've actually been supplied with the knowledge, the training, and the skills. And I'm not even talking yet about a big salary, guys. I'm not even talking about salaries. I'm just talking about you on the business end as the entrepreneur, what you are doing, because you are selling something new. You're bringing something new into the market. Then you realize, okay, how then do you want to ensure that you maintain and retain customers? So, first and foremost, you're probably working on the man-to-man skills or the, you know, person-to-person, what do they call it? The communication skills and, you know, the interaction skills that the security guards will have. Meaning, will they be able to speak and respond to people that work at a company that they are actually guarding? Will they be able to speak and also share information or be integrated into a operations department of the company that, that they have to protect? Stuff like that. How then will you work from there? The next thing that you'll perhaps be looking at, will they be getting some sort of hand-to-hand combat training? Or perhaps even firearms training for that matter. In Namibia, firearms training means what? You'll have to get a police clearance certificate. Then secondly, they need to get a firearm license. They don't own the firearm. They'll just get a firearm license. But that would also mean what kind of further services will you be providing as a security company? Will you be providing cash in transit services? Which by my layman's observation so far seems to be the big business in this country. Or will you be actually going and providing tailor-made security solutions? Tailor-made security solutions. Tailor-made security solutions, remember, is niche marketing. Niche marketing doesn't last long. Well, I've only seen in Namibia it actually does, but in essence, it does not last long. I'll say it again. It does not last long. Let's go into a creative setup. Let's say, for example, let me use the best and the easiest. You're a comedian. You're a stand-up comedian. I know the Free Your Mind Squad might target me later on today or tomorrow. I do not care, but I still share this. The Free Your Mind, not the Free Your Mind Squad. As a stand-up comedian, your biggest stakeholder in any performance you do is the audience that you're saying it to. So what happens? First and foremost, you'll be doing some trial and error, some testing the water, some research-based approaches, meaning you will bounce ideas off friends. You will bounce ideas off a broader speaking group. If you're someone that is part of a debating club, you will do the same thing. You'll make use of platforms where you have an opportunity to speak in public. Second on that is also, if none of you have realized, stand-up comedians are probably the second best public speakers after a Catholic priest or your local pastor in your church, whichever denomination you form part of. So they are most probably the most influential speakers after any religious leader, beating any political figure in the country, even a business figure. So as a stand-up comedian, you'll then firstly be working on your skills, your appearance, then also your stage name, because your stage name actually becomes something like your company name. And from there on, you'll be working on the types of performances that you'll be giving, meaning the types of jokes that you'll be sharing or the types of stories that you'll have. And within there, you'll also start categorizing yourself as what type of comedian will you be? Will you be someone aiming to become a TV personality like what Trevor Noah has now done? Or will you be aiming to become someone in the form of, let's for example say you want to aim for movies like Jim Carrey or what's the guy's name that got slapped? Chris Rock. Or the other Chris, Chris Tucker that played with Jackie Chan in Rush Hour. So it all depends on which approach you'll be taking. Now, right there, guys, I know I've given you, you know, just nutshell examples, but they do have their own sort of like approaches to take. Each one has its own approach. It doesn't mean that this, although there's a set approach, meaning a set sort of like format to follow in terms of product innovation, because product innovation, guys, links into the bigger picture of the innovation and a the company and its innovation approach, or the company and its identity to innovation. It links in on every platform. Doesn't matter which kind of company or industry you find yourself in, except probably for heavy industrial companies. I mean, what do you innovate there? You probably only innovate in terms of how you actually go mine, or how you go and fish for the fish, or how you go and cultivate the crop, or harvest the crop. That's all you'll be doing. Or your industrial processes that you refine. For example, if you're like someone like the two brewing companies here in Namibia, that being, three. The Coca-Cola people are actually not a brewing, but they do have, they've got a plant here. But in the same essence, you know, in terms of your approach, you'll be looking at a way to refine things, and that will be in the approach that you, at the back of your mind, you've got your customers as your main aim, as your main goal. Now we head into the last 4 minutes, guys, and I just want to share this little bit of lasting thoughts with you before you see me later today on the Business and Economic Zone. In terms of the product and branding. Now, by no means are we still done with product and branding, because your product is your most important thing. Now, this is the first of that subset of the how to get new product innovation. The first being the entrepreneurial mentality. Entrepreneurs, as I mentioned, understand that a product innovation is important to a continual process of testing and refinement to figure out the essentials. On to that. The practice of front-end development is used to apply to software development, but it's now also used by many industries to identify, validate, and to prioritize opportunities before you build or redesign anything. Before you build or redesign anything, you first have to see how it will affect what you currently have. In simple terms, it's how you determine the customer need or needs that you'd like to solve, and also the best ways in which to solve it. So you go and get detailed understanding of any problems that exist. Like I said, when I gave you the breakdown in terms of, like, if you have to start now a new security company, you'll be looking at what the market is offering, where the major operators are operating in, and then you also try to differentiate how you approach yourself to a security solutions company. And I'm not even touching IT yet as part of security solutions. I was just giving you an example in terms of if you decide to go and open up your own security company, what you'll be looking at. Because it's not just about saying, yeah, I'm helping people with unemployment, but you are not empowering them through training. You're not empowering them through any other exercise, meaning that you are actually innovating on the product, on the service that you're actually supposed to be innovating on. Now, before we end off for today's session, and tomorrow's session will be the last one on product and innovation, because it is an important aspect, and we'll be touching on the second element with regards to the how to get new product innovation right. The first one being this the entrepreneurial mentality, which just touches on, as I mentioned, also implementing various thought processes from other industries. The second one is being also adding into this is also that instead of throwing the proverbial spaghetti on the wall to see what sticks, you take a stepped approach. The stepped approach means you gather ideas based on customer studies. You develop product concepts. You validate and prioritize the concepts. You assess the market by using customer segmentation. And you also refine the concept by developing a prototype. And this is actually, within the product innovation phase, this is actually the steps that you need to follow when you innovate. But nonetheless, guys, that does bring us to the end of today's program here of the Brand Conversation, your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. And just to let you know that before we end off for today, that Justicia and Company for the On the Radar program are ready and expecting to make the entry. Nonetheless, let's see each other again same time, same place here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM.
On the Radar, an Eagle News program that takes you beyond the streets and brings you closer to national and international breaking news as it unfolds. Tune in every Monday to Friday from 1 to 2:30. To our valued listeners and all Namibians, we are living in unprecedented times which have seen some extraordinary steps being taken, some of which have suspended the most basic of human rights.
And this is because for the first time ever since our country won its independence, we have been hit by a dangerous virus, which is a threat to our livelihoods, the COVID-19.
The situation calls for us not to panic, but to work together and eradicate the spread of the virus. At Eagle FM, we urge you to always wash your hands with soap or use hand sanitizers,
limit or avoid travel, and respect our laws and obey authority.
We have the answer, and we will fight this the Namibian way. As Namibians, together, as one Namibia, one nation. Let's stand together against COVID-19.
Speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.
But how can you say Namibia was brought on a silver platter when so many people were massacred?
No, that's not what I mean. Mm-hmm. I mean on the silver platter.
In terms of the infrastructure.
Of the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You know, there were schools, there were roads, there were...
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
To grab that victory against Ivory Coast will be a big one for us. It will be the first...
For social position to raise a child. What does that mean? Baby dumping.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
The commander say hold fire, they hold fire. When the commander says fire, they fire. You know, they are trained to kill. We are trained to arrest people and bring them before court.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
That's why some of us wear unbranded clothes. Because it's about selling their product.
So talk on Eagle FM. Eagle FM, the eye.
To our valued listeners and all Namibians, we are living in unprecedented times which have seen some extraordinary steps being taken, some of which have suspended the most basic of human rights.
And this is because for the first time ever since our country won its independence, we have been hit by a dangerous virus, which is a threat to our livelihoods, the COVID-19.
The situation calls for us not to panic, but to work together and eradicate the spread of the virus. At Eagle FM, we urge you to always wash your hands with soap or use hand sanitizers,
limit or avoid travel, and respect our laws and obey authority.
We have the answer, and we will fight this the Namibian way. As Namibians, together, as one Namibia, one nation. Let's stand together against COVID-19.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.